And now I would invite you, if you have a Bible handy, let's open up to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I was thinking about it. Families are kind of funny things, aren't they? All right, so last Sunday was Mother's Day. In a couple weeks, we have Father's Day coming up. And, of course, I don't know if you realize there's all kinds of other lesser-known holidays thrown in. In September, we have Grandparents' Day. In July, there's Aunt and Uncle's Day. Some of them get silly. August 12th is Middle Child's Day. July 24th is Cousin's Day. There's a Brother's Day, a Sister's Day, a Sibling Day, a Family Day, and for kids without a family, there's even Orphan's Day. But usually the only ones we end up noticing or paying much attention to are Mother's Day and Father's Day, right? There's a special place that Mom and Dad have in our hearts. That's true even if you had a really hard childhood and your relationship with your dad is lousy. Right, there's still a part of your heart that's aching, that feels robbed of the father that was supposed to be there. So today we return to our study of Exodus and looking at the Ten Commandments, and we come to the fifth commandment. It's just one verse, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And it goes like this. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. If you look in your bulletin, you should have an outline that you can follow along with if you'd like. Before we even really get started on understanding this command, we need to clear up a couple of misconceptions about it first. And probably the biggest problem we run into when we hear this commandment is we think this commandment is only for children. We assume, okay, this is the Sunday school verse, and we'll get back to the commandments that apply to us next week, right? And while this commandment certainly does apply to children, it's important for us to realize the audience of this commandment is the same audience as the other nine. This commandment was spoken by God out of the fire to the exact same people that heard, "You shall have no other gods before me," to the exact same people who heard, "You shall not commit adultery." So it's really important that we clear that up right away, because there's a temptation for us sitting here to be thinking, oh boy, I hope my kids are paying attention today. We need to realize God is speaking this command to each of us. The second misconception is to think, oh, this command is only for people with good parents. There's a heart issue for many of us. See, we know our parents. We are well aware of who they are. And so we hear, honor your father and your mother, and we think, you know what? Obviously, this command was intended for people with parents worthy of honor. Pastor, you don't know my parents. You don't know how my dad ignored me for years. You don't know how much my mom drank. And you know, of course, that's right. I don't know. But let me read the commandment again, just to make sure we have this straight. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. Did you hear anything in there about honor your mom and dad when they deserve it? The command is simply honor them. We'll talk about some difficult cases. So, just because you're thinking, you know what, mom and dad don't really deserve honor, that doesn't cancel this commandment. It doesn't erase it. The third misconception, that this command is only concerned with parents. Right? Some of us don't have parents in this world anymore. Does that mean that this commandment has nothing for us? Yes, this commandment still has application for your life. For example, we see ancient Israel divided up into 12 tribes. Those tribes are largely families. Each of those tribes is led by elders. When Israel heard this command, honoring your father and your mother, in a very real sense means honor your government. And in fact, God, speaking through the prophet Malachi, says this. Listen, this is Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you. God is calling his disobedient people to task, and he calls their disobedience to him, he calls their sin a fifth commandment issue. God sees honor your father as including the idea honor God. So God himself clearly sees this commandment as talking about more here than just mommy and daddy. Okay, so getting those misconceptions out of the way, let's look at it. Let's see if we can try to understand what this commandment is. What is God calling us to here? And the first question we need to wrestle with is, what does it mean to honor somebody anyway? Right? It's a very broad term. Back in the 16th century, the reformer John Calvin came up with three different things that go into honoring somebody. And I think what he suggests here is helpful. So I'm following Calvin's model here. And the first is, he says, this commandment is a call to revere somebody. Honoring always starts in our hearts. To revere somebody is to have deep respect for them, to genuinely admire them. So when God calls us to honor our parents, he starts by challenging our hearts. He's not looking for us necessarily so much to go and say and do the right things so much as to feel and think the right things. So let's start with mom and dad. All right, God calls us to genuinely respect them in our hearts. He wants us to look to our parents and see that these are the specific people that God has put into your life to be your father and your mother, and to realize that they deserve respect simply because God has chosen to put them in that role that demands respect. Now, this can be really, really hard, right? So what if your dad doesn't follow Jesus? What if your dad thinks you are a fool for believing silly fairy tales like the Bible, and he's not shy about telling you so? You know what? That's a situation where it is really, really hard to respect your dad from the heart. Because your heart is a crazy mix of pain and frustration. So let me give you a hint here. There is not a command that God has ever given that you've kept. Not a one of them, right? And that includes this one. There is a reason that we need a Savior. God commands us to go all the way to our heart and our motives. And when we look at that, we never find purity. Never. Isn't it good that we have a Savior? But it goes even beyond that. God really does want you to genuinely revere your parents. Even if your mom is a mess, even if your dad has chased every get-rich-quick scheme in the book and is now just a broken, bankrupt, bitter old man. That is the mom and the dad that God has given to you. Let me ask you this. How often do you pray about your heart's attitude towards your parents? I'm not talking about how often do you pray that your parents would change. I'm talking about praying that you would change. How often do you pray that your heart would be right toward them? I'll be honest, that's when I think about it, that's not something that I've prayed about much at all in my life. And as I was putting this together, I realized this is something that needs to become a regular part of my prayer rotation. How about you? So we have a call to revere. The next thing Calvin saw in the call to honor your parents is a call to submit. Now, this is where I lose all the teenagers, right? Part of honoring your parents is submitting to their will. So the teen says, I want to play Xbox. I want to go out with my friends. You know, back in the day when that sort of thing was actually allowed. And you know where this is going, right? The bad old parent says no because reasons. And so now there's a problem, right? The teen wants one thing and the parent wants something else. And how do we resolve this? The fifth commandment helps us sort this out. In this situation, the parent generally wins. Sorry, kids. But I mean, this is what it's like. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Parents have wisdom and perspective that's usually lacking in youth. Kids, believe it or not, when your parents were young, they used to want those toys in the vending machines in the grocery store. You know the ones I'm talking about with the red tops. They're sitting there by the exit of every grocery store in existence, trying to pry a quarter or two out of your hands. Your parents wanted stuff out of those machines just as much as you do. But now they're a little older, a little wiser. They understand that it's hard to get money in this world. And there are better ways to use money than on the knickknacks that come out of those vending machines. Now, there is one super important exception here. If your parents are asking you to disobey God, your call is to obey a higher authority. It is never right to obey somebody who calls you to sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is, it is always wrong. But if there's not a sin issue, the right approach here is always to submit to your parents. Now, remember this, the only time you will ever need to submit to them is when you want something different from them. Right? I mean, if your parents are saying, hey, go eat your ice cream, you don't usually have a big fight over it, right? They want you to eat your ice cream, you want to eat your ice cream. The only time that submission is an issue is when you disagree. So this is going to be hard. You want something and your parents want something else. And maybe that's the point where you whisper a little prayer. God, this is hard. I will obey my parents because you say it's right. Jesus, help me. And you know what? It's entirely possible that in what your parents are saying, they are being entirely unfair. Jesus says, leave that to him. This aspect of the command applies especially to those who are younger and still under your parents' authority. The call to submission is less once you've moved out and started your own family, right? If I got home this afternoon and the phone rang and it was my dad and he said, Steve, get out there and clean your garage right now. That wouldn't carry the same force as if I looked at my kids and said, girls, get out there and clean the garage right now. Because I'm not exactly under my dad's authority in the same way at this point. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Lastly, the last thing Calvin says that goes into honoring your father and mother is a call to gratitude. A call to gratitude. When I was a kid, I surely never thought about the sacrifices my mom was making as a single mother with two boys. Looking back on it, she sacrificed a lot. And yet, I don't recall ever saying thank you to her for any of those sacrifices. As far as I know, my dad never missed a single child support payment when I was growing up. I'm sure there are plenty of things he would have loved to have done with that money. But he was constantly faithful in that. And I don't ever recall saying thank you to him for those sacrifices. Now, as all of us are getting older, there are more and more opportunities to show that gratitude. First of all, we can simply call them up and tell them. We can write a letter, we can send a card, we can send a text message, we can email, we can even, well, again, I'm sure this will be possible at some time, we can even go visit them. Right? When I was a kid, it was hard to get my parents gifts because kids don't have any money. Right? Things are different now, and I can actually get nice things for my mom and dad. Part of the call to honor your father and your mother is to show gratitude. And this gets a lot more significant as our parents get old enough that they can't take care of themselves. Right? Jesus had blistering words for the Pharisees who refused to care for their parents. Paul does too. In 1 Timothy, he's giving instructions to a young pastor on how the church should care for its seniors. Listen to what he says. Okay, so this is not some Old Testament law where we're trying to figure out how it applies. This is Paul writing to Timothy about how the church should act. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, starting at verse 4, "If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers day and night, but she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach." But here we go, listen to this. "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." It's hard words. The refusal to care for your parents or grandparents makes you worse than an unbeliever. Right? It's a very important part of the way that you honor your mother and your father is by caring for them as they reach the point of not being able to care for themselves. So now that's what the commandment is really calling us to do. Now, a curious part of this commandment is that it has a promise baked into it. So we're going to look now at the reward of the commandment. We've focused so much on the honor part, but notice the second half of the command, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Well, what's going on here? I think this is where we need to just step back for a moment and remember a couple of things. First, God has promised to bring his people into a land, into the promised land, and they will live in that promised land as long as they are faithful to God and obedient to his commands. Second, and this may be a little too obvious, but stay with me. This is the fifth commandment. The Ten Commandments are given in order, and this one happens to come after number six, after number four and before number six. Everybody following me here? Five comes after four and before number six. Let me explain why I think that's significant. It's because honoring parents brings loving God and loving your neighbor together. The first four commandments are all about our relationship with God. Number one is don't have any other gods. Number two, don't make any idols. Number three, don't mess with God's name. Number four, don't mess with God's day. They are all focused on God and our relationship with him. And then when we look at commandments 6 to 10, they are all focused on our relationship with our neighbors and how we love our neighbors as ourselves. Number 6, don't murder. Number 7, don't commit adultery. Number 8, don't steal. Number 9, don't lie. Number 10, don't crave what isn't yours. And right in the middle of that, number 5, we get this commandment about honoring your parents. Now, why does that show up in the list ahead of don't murder? Doesn't that seem strange? It does, until we remember texts like that verse from Malachi that I read to us earlier, that God sees honoring parents as a miniature model of honoring him. I think about it like this. For the most part, what is the first place a child learns about God? They learn about God at home from their parents. At least initially they should. And even if mom and dad never say anything about God, that child's view of God will forever be shaped by impressions that mommy and daddy left. Ideally, the child will learn about God from faithful parents who will set a good example of what loving and obeying God looks like. Some of us grew up in homes like that, and never underestimate that blessing in your life. But also, the child is going to learn what it means to love one's neighbors by watching mom and dad and listening to them. So the fifth commandment is what pulls the commandments about loving God and loving neighbors together. Parents, listen, never, never, never underestimate the privilege and the responsibility that God has put in your hands. And so, secondly, we're going to see that honoring parents results in a faithful people. Right? So now that we understand this, I think we can make some sense about what this means, that their days will be long in the land. These commandments were spoken at a point where sociologists estimate 50% of children never made it to 10 years old. 50%. Now, is that because they were just rotten kids who didn't listen to their parents? I don't think so. The promise here is that children who honor their parents will be children who understand and keep God's commandments. And when you have a nation that's keeping God's commandments, he promises to pour out his blessing upon them. He promises that they will get to stay in the land. So, as a matter of historical record, they didn't do that, right? When God is giving Ezekiel a laundry list of the reason why he's judging his people and kicking them out of the promised land, one of them is chapter 22, verse 7, father and mother are treated with contempt in you, my people. So as Christians, the land that we're hoping for is nothing less than the new earth. A long time, the long time we're looking for is nothing less than eternity. These are the blessings that come from honoring your parents, and in particular, by honoring your parents through obedience to Jesus. So as we come to wrap this up, I just wanted to come up with a couple of ways that we can be living this commandment out today. A couple of things that you can take home with you. And number one, go say thank you today. Last week we were talking about different ways you could keep the Lord's Day and use it to serve him. Maybe today you could use your Lord's Day afternoon to go home and write a letter to your mom and dad and just say thank you. And you might be thinking, I don't know, I don't think I have anything to say thank you for. No honor that they deserve. Well, why don't you try it? Just write down everything that you can think of that you can say thank you for. And I think you'll find that it's a longer list than you think. Wouldn't that be a great first step in thinking about how we can honor our mother and father? And next up, notice other people's kids. When you see kids doing something praiseworthy, take a moment and compliment their parents. As parents, most of the time, if somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, I want to talk to you about your kid," your answer, your thoughts, "Oh no, what is it this time?" Right? What if you could bring them compliments about their kids, and especially praise God in the process? I give you a practical example. You guys are great about coming to Faith and telling her, "Faith, we are so blessed by your musical talents that you as you lead us in worship on Sunday mornings." What if instead you went to Kim? Well, maybe not instead. What if in addition you went to Kim and you said, "Kim, I am so blessed by the way Faith is able to lead the church musically. God has given her a gift and you have done a great job in helping her see how to use that gift in the service of God." I mean, what parent would not be walking on clouds after a compliment like that? Wouldn't you love to have somebody coming up and giving you compliments about your kids? Notice other people's kids and point out that the kids are in fact honoring their parents through their lives. Next. Oh boy. Okay, hang on. All right. Show respect to the government. I know this is a hard one right now. There is a lot of disagreement about government requirements and restrictions around COVID-19. I mean, there's a reason that we're having a service out here in a parking lot when there is a perfectly good church building right here with an open door. Right? You don't have to agree with the governor, with the government, on everything or anything. But let me ask you this. As you're talking with your friends, as you're posting on social media, isn't it so very easy to spout out things like, "Oh, Governor Mills is an idiot. President Trump is the most horrible human being that could ever be president. I hate him. I wish a meteor would crash on Air Force One one day." Okay, it's very easy for us in the culture that we live in to publicly attack, slander, and degrade our government. Listen, the world is very, very good at this. It knows that insults and acid are the ways to get clicks. Christians, can't we do better? You can disagree with the governor's ideas without attacking her as a person. You can disagree with the president without attacking him as a person. We can disagree with ideas. Isn't that a far better way to show respect, to show love for other people? I think all of that is baked into honor your father and mother. Next up, make family a priority. Friends, I once heard a speaker say that if Christians can't get family right, what platform do we have for anything? Parents, as we look at the fifth commandment, it should remind us of the tremendous responsibilities entrusted to us. How often are you complimenting and encouraging your kids? How often do they hear your praise? And if you have adult kids, I'm talking to you too, right? How often are you praising your kids? How often do they hear what they're doing right? And kids, listen. The world expects you to rebel. The world expects you to roll your eyes at your parents. The world expects you to try to see what you can get away with when nobody's looking. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus, don't listen to the world's expectations. Listen to your parents. Submit to them. And you can actually even say thank you to them sometimes. Finally, pray for those in authority over you. We have specific commands in the Bible to pray for those in authority over us. That includes your parents, that includes the government, that includes even people in government who are making bad decisions. Maybe especially those who are making bad decisions. A great way to honor them is to pray for them. Pray that God would grant them wisdom, that they would lead well. God's word for us today is just this. Honoring those in authority over us honors God. Honoring those in authority over us honors God. Who do you need to honor today? Who do you need to honor? Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the parents that you've given us. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for our fathers. Lord, thank you for the many, many people who are part of leading us and guiding us. Lord, all of this rubs us in hard ways sometimes. We want so much to demand our own ways, to demand our rights, to demand our way. And you call us to honor. You call us to revere and submit and to show gratitude. Lord, help us in all these things. Help us to love our parents more. Help us to be grateful for government. Lord, give us hearts that are prayerful, that we would seek to genuinely honor those in authority over us from our hearts and not just with our lips. Lord, this is a commandment that in the end, none of us keep perfectly. How many of us can even say with true honesty that we keep it even pretty well? Lord, thank you for Jesus, who always honored you, who always gave you perfect obedience, perfect deference, perfect respect, perfect submission. Thank you that you've given us such a Savior whose blood can cover even our disobedience to this commandment. You are our God. He is our Savior. Thank you for your Spirit that you've put in us to make us more and more like Him, even in the area of submitting to the parents and authorities over us. Help us to submit well, because by honoring the authorities over us, we honor you. Oh God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.